now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned into the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. Joining me today, we have NFL tight end, damn good dog, and yep, my personal friend, Brandon McMichael. What's going on, brother?
Man, what's up, G-Money, man? It's good. I'm glad that I finally get to come on and hang out with you for a little bit, chop it up, talk some you know what, and hopefully, you know, share some knowledge, spread some love, man. But it's my pleasure to be on the show, man.
Oh, man, my pleasure. Anytime you want to come on, feel free, man. Door's always open. And so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, man, and I wanted to damn sure talk to you because you have these type of experiences. We all this coaching change in the NCAA. Like, I want you to kind of speak out on how maybe some of these dudes are feeling in like the locker room. If you go into a bowl game, you could have possibly been going to the playoff situation, and then the coach up and tells you he out the door.
Right. Well, I mean, it's a situation where, you know, today's college football, because I can only speak on college football, a lot of them go to the school because of the coach and not necessarily the university itself. And so you sit down, you promise these kids and everything in the world, I'll be here till you leave and all those things. And then a better job. And it's not saying anything's personal against a kid. So I think a lot of them take it personal. It's against, well, this is a better opportunity for me. And so, you know, I've been in the situation twice in college. When Coach Donna was fired right before the bowl game, and we still went all the way, flew our ass from Atlanta all the way to Hawaii, and he was just out there and so, you know, knowing I was going to have a new coach, I had to make a decision what I wanted to do. And I mean, I didn't know who the hell Coach Rick was. All I knew was that Florida State didn't use the tight end. So I was just in my mindset, like, you know, I'm going to go to the draft. And mom came out, was like, no, you're not going nowhere. First of all, you're going to get your degree. And then you can go and everything. So I made that decision. But I think a lot of it, when you look at the kids nowadays, it's all about the coach itself instead of maybe the university. And then, you know, earlier this week, you know, you hear a clip from Lane Kiffin, who made the greatest line and the most truthful statement a coach has said since all this, this NIL stuff. The kid's going to go wherever they get the most money.
Right.
Now, their fault, they get the most money and leave. You know, what's about old boy that just went to Ohio State? He left high school early,
yep,
went up there, took a quick milli, didn't play, then left. So, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact is that these kids go for these coaches and these coaches make these promises. And I've always been taught that you just can't take a man by his word. You should take a man by his word, but if you base your decisions off of his word, you got to be ready for disappointment sometimes.
And that's what I've often – because, like, right now, I'm at an age where, like, a bunch of my friends are having kids, and their kids are going on to college. One friend of mine, his son plays at Clemson. Another kid, his son is being heavily recruited in basketball. And so we always have these conversations, and I'm like, listen, dog, like, yes, you want to take the coach at his word, and he's going to bring your son in and treat him like family and like his own and all that. But it's still a business, and 9 times out of 10, man, you have to treat it that way. You can't go in with all these emotions, because while the players have probably are looking at it emotionally,
right,
the coach is looking at it as a business.
Correct.
And then on the other side, the fans are extremely emotional. So, like, out of all of this, like, you know, you can look around and you can say, okay, as a player, you say, okay, I understand, coach. You know, they offered you $100 mil. Shit, I get out of here too.
Right.
Fans don't understand that at all, dog.
and you know, Gordo, me being in, you know, being in this new profession that I'm in, being in radio, you interact more with fans. You know, as a professional, you really didn't, you know, hey, thank y'all so much for coming, but you didn't. And, you know, you get to hear the raw emotions of fans. And I still, and as long as I've been in this business, which isn't long, I still don't understand the acting of, like, you are property to somebody. Like, I can't be happy because that's going to make you unhappy. you know? And you always say it, I always try to live my life as not putting myself in anybody's shoes. I never will, because my emotions are completely different from yours. But when you look at it as the business aspect of it, it is that, because that's their job. Your job in college is not to be a football player, it's to be a college student, quote unquote, student athlete or whatever, whatever. It's their job to try and better them, you know, get a better job. I'm not saying that, you know, when you look at example, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame to go to LSU. Well, I mean, they're both about even as far as program wise, but the pay they were offering him double what he was making at LSU. I mean, they're not Notre Dame. And then you can still have a top tier program. Hell yeah, I'm out. I've been there 10 years, I'm out. And so, you know, that is the crazy thing about the world of college football, especially with this damn transfer portal now, man. It's just like, and you know, me having old school ties, but then trying to relate kind of to these new kids, this new way of doing things. It's like, okay, I want the kids to be able to do and whatever they want, because it always comes back to it. Like you said, coaches can get up and leave anytime they want to, and everything like that. The kids got to stay. Well, now they have options. My only thing is this: there's thousands of kids in this portal, and none of them got nowhere to go. You know, they just in there because they want this instant gratification of control of what my destiny is, which is ultimate NFL.
Right.
My goals, you know, and it was different then. We didn't transfer. We waited our turn. I mean, I waited behind Larry Brown and Jermaine Wiggs to be the starting tight end. Once they left, I had to share the starting job with Javaris Johnson. But, okay. And then once Javaris left, I had to share it with Ben Watson. Went to the league, played 11 years. So my destiny was controlled. Nowadays, Gordo, we both got teenage boys. We both got teenage sons. They just want it right now.
Yep.
And whatever they can do to get to that right now, they'll do. No matter what the con, not listen to us, because we, you know, they know everything. They know everything. So I'll go to this portal real quick and try to go somewhere else and see if I can get mine on. And there's two options. One, you stay in there and you lose a scholarship. Or two, you get there and it ain't what you thought it was going to be. And then what you do? Go back to the portal.
And that's what I was getting ready to say. We saw it, I think, with, what's the young man? Tate Martell, probably most recent, transferred two or three times. But you get someplace and then you realize the grass ain't always greener, dog. And they're recruiting too. Just like they recruited you, they still recruited somebody else.
Right.
And you're still going to have to do that. And you got Spencer Rattler, who just committed over to South Carolina.
Great move for South Carolina to get him.
Right. And I think the Oklahoma tight end, I can't remember his name, also came over with him. But if you get there and you clash with the coach, no matter what he said to you, you know, because that's typically what happens. Like a coach is pushing you too much, or he's doing too much, or he's not giving you the opportunities that you want. What's next? Like you have no other choice, because the common denominator after all of this is going to be you.
Right.
But if you have a problem over here in Oklahoma, you have a problem over here in South Carolina, and then if you want to just jump to the league, well, everybody's going to put the blame on you, or you had a problem everywhere. It can't be everybody else. And a lot of kids don't understand that you move from place to place. And every time you make a move, every time you make a decision, ultimately, it's your character on the line.
Right.
So each and every time you do that, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens in terms of Spencer and what his next career decisions are going to be.
Well, go ahead, Gordon. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, but I think that what kids and parents are learning now, though, is that this is more of a business. This is more of, you can't just go to good old university because I love and I grew up loving this school. Right. You have to make a smart business decision for yourself.
You have to. And the thing, and the perfect scenario you look at, say, go to a Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler came into this season Heisman favorite, number one overall pick favorite before a ball was even snapped for the 2021 season, plays bad, loses his job, and now he's at a position where NFL teams are like, what's going on with him? So he has to go back and everything like that. And the business part about it now is that, you know, it's like we didn't have to be promised anything to go places. Like I wasn't promised nothing to go to Georgia. I was a no-star recruit. But you got to sell yourself and sell your program and sell the coach himself, because of what you said earlier. Like, I'm dropping my son off to you to take care of him, to mold him into a man and all these different things. But at the same time, you promised us that he was going to get an opportunity to start as a freshman, play as a freshman, because what do they say? And tomorrow, I mean, on Wednesday, tomorrow, we will have what they call it, national early signing period.
Signing period, yep.
You sit there and listen to and watch when they're sitting up there signing and all them damn caps on their table by, by the next 3 to 4 years. They're trying to get out of here as soon as possible. When you talk about my next 3 to 4 years, this is their plan. I'm spending 3 years in college and I'm going to the NFL. And then after those 3 years, if you're not where you think you should be, then, okay, well, I said 3 to 4 years. I know that the NFL gave me a fifth round grade, but I'm gonna go anyway. Knowing that if I come back, I might get up to a second round grade. That's the business part of college football. And it's kind of scary because you got all these kids that are just sitting in this transfer portal. And it's like, you're not Spencer Rattler. You right. weren't just Fields. You're not these teams that teams are coveting. They're just letting you sit there and like, okay, well, let me see. Well, this kid played here. Now we got this recruit now coming out of high school that we don't know how. We know he's a 4-star high school player, mm-hmm. but can he do it in college? Well, I got this veteran receiver that I've seen play 2 years. I think I'm gonna give him the scholarship. I think I'm gonna give him the scholarship and let this 3-star wide receiver go somewhere else. You know, that's the thing about it. These kids in this portal, it makes it too easy. And again, conflict. And I know I'm talking out both sides of my mouth, but it kind of condones quitting if you don't get your way. Like you said, if the coach gets on you, if right. they say, you know, anything to you, because these kids are damn sensitive as hell. And it's all about being praised. They've been praised and recruited since they were 13 damn years old. Told them that, you know, this, you this good, 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 and good. And not saying they don't work hard, but at the same time, do they work hard enough to mentally toughen their mind if stuff don't go right for them all the time? And I don't think a lot of them do.
Working hard and being mentally tough are two totally different things. Yes, you might go to a weight room and you can push all the weight you want. You can go into and do all the 40s and run everything you can do. But if somebody says, hey, man, you ain't got it, and you break down and you lose it because this one dude, now he's a hater, because that's what yeah. they throw on you as soon as you tell somebody that they need to do some work.
Right.
Man, he's hating, man. Shit, he don't know what he's talking about. He just hate. Nah, I'm telling you, you need to put in this work because they're recruiting guys behind you
right.
every damn year. It's not like they stopped after they say, okay, we got him. We good.
And that's it. You're looking at it. Take Georgia. Georgia, we got a 5-star kid. What's the boy's name? Van something. And then you go and get another 5.
From Raven County.
You know, inside Gunnar Stockton, another 5-star. Well, we know, as we know in today's age, one of them ain't going to be here. Right. One of them will be graduating from the University of Georgia. They won't be. And I think when you look at the quarterback, because of the nature of the position, they just get the hell on, man. They really do. And so, I mean, it's I don't want to say it's sad. It's just like, you know, every time you look, I'm like, damn. What happened? Were you, because it's always going to be thrown out there, these kids, no matter what. Oh, you don't want to compete. Oh, you soft. Oh, you this. Oh, you that. And that's how a lot of people look at it. Oh, you soft. Oh, you don't want to compete. Oh, you lost the job, so I got to leave. And a lot of times, and I honestly think, Gordo, 70% of the time, that's what it is. Maybe 80. That's what it is. I lost the job. I don't need it. Now, another time, it could be, you know what, coach, I want to be close to home. Fine, that's cool. But the competition part of the, you know, I can't accept the fact that I might not be as good as I think I am. This dude might just be better at this time. That's out the window now.
Yeah, it's long gone of the wait your turn. It used to be, like you said, you came in, you put in that work, you were behind guys, you split time with guys, and it used to be that was the way you operated. That was the loyalty. That was our generation. And it was not just football, it was basketball too. You go in, you go to places like Duke or North Carolina or Kansas, and you might be playing behind a couple guys and you wait your turn. And when your name was called, then you knew you had to go ball. But right. now these guys aren't doing that. And it's being exposed, but it's also being exposed to me too, because you talked about how guys are soft and they're running away from competition. It's being exposed to some of these coaches are doing the same thing. Like, I like that they gave it. that everybody was giving it to him when he jumped to USC. And once he made that jump to USC, everybody said, oh, you don't want to be in the SEC. You didn't want that smoke.
Right. Right.
So it gave you a little perspective on how like fans are now being let in behind the, you know, get a little peek behind the curtain to see like all of this stuff ain't what you see on television.
Right.
Because everyone has these ideas of what college football is and how they want it to be. And then you look around, you say, okay, this is really what it is. And then you start looking at some of these coaches that's making all this money. And then I have people come and calling me like, yo, they got $100 million, they got $95 million, they got, but you mean to tell me they can't spread $1 million between like the roster of the football team? And I'm like, yo, you see that this is the commodity. Like the coach is becoming the face of the franchise.
Like, yes. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Kirby Smart is the face of Georgia football. You're going to the University of Kirby Smart, Georgia.
Right.
You know, USC. Do you want to the University of what's his damn name? I was Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley SC. Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's why these coaches are getting that type of money. You know, you can't tell me that Lane Kiffin couldn't have got the money that he got from USC for Oklahoma. There's no way you could not tell me that. Yeah, there's no way. All right, that's Oklahoma. Now, they're one of the biggest brands in sports. They could have afforded the money that if whatever Lincoln Riley wanted. So I don't think it was money, more or less, that Lincoln Riley left. I think it was, I don't want to say he was scared of coaching the SEC, but you go and you win and you bring a title to that program at SC.
Yeah,
man, you can go act with Will Smith for this next movie. You know, I mean, that's just what it is out there, man. And you know, these coaches, and I've never seen anything like this, Gordo. You see coaches move all the time, but like this many big jobs, just never seen anything like it, man. And the programs that they took, like Oklahoma, like USC went and took Oklahoma's coach,
right?
LSU took Notre Dame's coach. You know, you just don't. Miami went and took Oregon's coach. You just don't see that like that. But
they still had a coach.
Yeah, those programs have that cachet to be like, come on, let it go. Come on, let it go. Like the only coaches I thought that would not change this year was Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, and Dabo Sweeney. Right. Other than that, I was like, I don't know who gonna go.
Yeah, this junk is wide open, man. Like, it's kind of funny just because you look and you see that these coaches are out here and they get this bag. We already talked about they got this big money. And so now as a fan, just bringing it back to the fan side of it, you can't really be attached to the running back because he might be gone next year. You can't really be attached to the quarterback because he might be gone next year. And it's not even the case of like in the NBA, they talk about how kids jump to the league after a year. Well, right. Now in college football, they're talking about how this transfer portal is. And I often thought it was funny that how it popped up, I think it was earlier today, that Lane Kiffin was the one who was downplaying the transfer portal. Like, come on, dog. Like, and that's not saying that he is that type of individual, but out of all to think of a modern coach, and I put it that way. When I think of a modern coach, a new millennial style coach, I think of Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily think that he'd be sounding like the old man. Back in my day, we don't do the transfer portal type thing. But I guess if it's your job on the line, then you'll say those type of things.
Right. Well, I mean, of course he will. Like, to go back, we were talking about how players want to go to schools. Fans are going to – Georgia fans, any school, they love that G more than they love actual players. Now, it hurts their feelings a little bit. It hurts their feelings and all that. But at the end of the day, I ain't never seen a Georgia fan leave Georgia because the coach leaves. Notre Dame's still going to be – Oklahoma's still going to – the fans that come to those games down there in Norman, Oklahoma, they come in to see Oklahoma, not necessarily, you know, anybody else or a specific coach. That emotional tie is always going to be there. Now, you're going to be mad, and you might go in this child's DMs and cuss him out and call him a loser and a quitter and everything. But once you get over that initial upsetness, you go back to loving the school or whoever you're going to always root for, no matter who's there, because it's so much turnover in college football and sports in general, because players, they just leave, not necessarily transfer, they graduate, they get hurt, it's time, they do all these different things, but it's always going to be about that G, you know? And so that's what I'm talking about from a fan's, a player's perspective. Yeah, that's cool. What you got for me? Oh, yeah, I don't like it no more. Maybe I want to go over here and see what's up, see what's what. But that's just the business, and it's I think, G, it's only going to get, I don't want to say worse, but right now you got thousands of kids. Every time you look up, G, there's a new person going to in the transfer portal, and just like, damn, what the hell just happened? You just played well last year here. And all right. of a sudden, I would say, what transpired? Was it, did somebody say something to you, or did they sit up there and say, how about this? We're going to have an open competition in the spring.
Nah, dog. I can't do that. My spot.
No, I can't. I got to go find somewhere where I don't have to compete for the job. I got to go somewhere where I can just go line up and that job is mine.
Right.
And that's what they're looking for. You're looking for the easy way, but you're looking for the easy way in a situation where you might not be able to make a lateral move from school to school. You might have to go down a little bit. You might have to go to a group of five type school from a right. Power Five. You just might have to, but yeah.
Man, you struck a nerve when you started talking about how some of the fans start DMing the players. And I want to kind of talk about this. Like, I mean, real quick, if you DM a player, if you DM a player's parents, if you DM, you know what I'm saying, somebody's uncle, and you to voice your displeasure, it's something wrong with you. It ain't nothing, like... Never mind what the player did. Never mind what you think about him. But if you take the time to jump in somebody's DMs and be like, oh, you a loser. Oh, you this, you that. You'll never be this. There's something wrong with you, man.
I can't agree more, man. And, you know, Gordo, it might not even be the DM. They do it obvious. You know, they at the kid and he's talking about, what's their favorite thing? After further discussion with my family and praying on it, I've decided to decommit or leave. Respect my decision. No media. And okay, fine. But then you got everybody, you loser. We don't need you anyways. It's just like, and that's where I go back to the privilege that some people think they have just because right. they root for you or something. Because I got your jersey. Appreciate it. Thank you. But that don't mean that I gotta make my decision based on that right there. You always gotta make what's best for you because, like I said about the fans. They're always going to go to Georgia games, whether I'm there, whether whoever's playing quarterback right now, once they leave, they're not going to stop going to Georgia games because they're left. They're going to stay there, and they're always going to root for the Georgia Bulldogs, period. Now, they'll have their favorite players or whatever. And that's the thing with the players is that you got to understand that you ain't going to make the right decision that's going to please everybody. Now, it's also has come down to you. And as much as we talk about this transfer portal, if that's what you want to do, and that's what you think is best for your career, because at the end of the day, you're the one who got to live it. You're the one that's got to live it. You're the one. I love my mama to death, but my mama ain't got to be the one, you know, she's going to root for me no matter what I do. But you're the one who has to make that decision. So the tier of sports, it's crazy, Gordo, because I ask the question all the time. It's like, what brings out people's just crazy side, politics or sports?
It's neck and neck. It's 1A, 1B.
Yeah. And look. One has an outcome on how you might live your life and how the world might go on, and the other one technically doesn't.
Right.
But yeah, I promise you, Gordo, I sit back and I talk to Andy all the time, and we'll talk, and I just like, damn. Like, you know, you have no control over what happened in that game.
Mm-hmm.
No control over if you caught the ball or not. But the vitriol and the just like, damn. Is that serious?
I have seen grown men cry more over a football game than if they doggone somebody passed away in their family. And you looking like, bro, come on, man. Like, you didn't even go to this school.
That's another one. I went to Georgia. I'd be damned, Gordo, if I let Georgia have me in my feelings about anything. When they lost Alabama, I was like, well, damn. And went on about my damn business in my night. I'm not going to let no sports team of a game that I know that I have no control over, get in my feelings. Right. That's what I'm saying. I've been watching, the dudes be breaking TVs and punching TVs. I'm like, do you think they're going to send you a refund for that?
Not a damn bit.
Better have that warranty.
Shoot, and the warranty don't cover that because you broke that. You did that. It ain't like the tube went out like in the old days. Nah, you right. did that. But bringing it back to the football playoffs, we talked about Georgia. Georgia lost to Alabama. They now have to face Michigan. What does that game look like in your eyes? Because I think Michigan has a style of play, and it actually, to me, it may be conducive to what Georgia wants to do, but how do you see it?
Well, I think the one thing that people talk about is because Michigan wants to run the football, that's Georgia's strength and everything like that. And it does play a dude, but they are a stubbornly devoted run team. You know, because McNamara is an okay quarterback. Chesson Bennett is better than McNamara, you know. But so they don't want to – you saw it in the Ohio State game when they put the ball in his hands down in the red zone, threw a damn interception. You know, so they want – Georgia wants him to be the way they run the football and the way they run misdirections, Gordo and everything, it's so Jim Harbaugh. Trick plays, all these different things. This is how they get their plays. And when they do throw the ball, they make explosive plays. But, yeah, they want to bloody your damn nose. They want to line up and hit you in the face of that big offensive line. And then defensively, hell, they got the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy. Aiden Hutchinson is a one-man game wrecker. And he has another NFL in, and I always say his name wrong, Ogbah, who is a first-round defensive outside linebacker. So they got two dudes and more dudes, but those two dudes are one man. They are a wrecking crew. Aiden Hutchinson, and he always shows up in these games. He always plays big in big, big games. So, I mean, it's going to be a challenge for Georgia defensively because of this reason. They want to run the football, and they're going to be in Miami, and it's going to be hot, it's going to be muddy, and they're going to be leaning on you and leaning on you and leaning on you. So, Georgia just has to prepare for that. Offensively, Georgia be fine offensively. I think they can run the football. I think, you know, as long as you can give the quarterback enough time from those defensive ends, you can make plays on this secondary and everything. But, yeah, this is going to be a backyard brawl. Yeah, that's basically what it's going to be because they are who they are, and they're not changing because they're playing Georgia, period. They want to run the football, and they stubbornly want to run the football.
Yeah, and it's going to be a totally different game from the Alabama game. I don't think that like you said, they're not even going to try to do what Alabama did. Like, copycat league, everybody would say, okay, that's the blueprint. You go out there and try to do it. But Michigan is not that type of squad. Going over to the next game, man, does Cincinnati have an actual chance in hell against Bama?
No, they don't. And the thing, and it hurts me to say that, but the thing with Cincinnati is they're a really, really good football team. Very talented football team. They're just not talented enough. Right. They got NFL players. They got the Thorpe Award winner at one corner. They got NFL types players on their back end that can match up with Jameson Williams and everything, maybe for a half. You know, Fickell, he is a hell of a football coach, can design a game plan to maybe keep it close early. But I think Alabama just has too much because they have too much overall talent than them. And Bryce Young, you know, you were just talking about the blueprint, and people want to talk about the blueprint to beat Georgia. The blueprint to beat Georgia is having that guy number 9 because he was special. He was special. I mean, the dude was just freaking special. And going back to that game, they played perfect, and Georgia just didn't. Georgia, but I mean, this guy is just unbelievable. So I think Cincinnati, you know, they have an NFL quarterback also. Ritter possibly could be a first rounder, got some good runners, good receivers. I just don't know if for 60 minutes they can hold up against Alabama. That's the one thing I don't see.
And that's what I always tell people. Usually the separation isn't the frontline talent. Usually that separation is the depth. So once you go and you start to pull guys and like your starters get tired, you're not bringing 4- and 5-star recruits off your bench if you're Cincinnati to come in and play against Alabama as opposed to them. They're bringing in 4- and 5-star recruits off the bench to come in and play against you. So it looks like you might be playing against the same dude because he's the same size, he's the same strength. You know what I'm saying? He's just as big. And you're like, damn, like they just brought in another one, like they cloning him.
Right.
But I wanted Cincinnati to come in because everybody says, you can't play against the big boys. You can't match up against the Power Five. But I wanted this opportunity for Cincinnati. I wanted them to come in and have this opportunity so that you could say, hey, we can do this. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? We brought our best and we can do this. We can hang and make it a good game and possibly keep the door open. Because if Cincinnati gets their doors blown off and that makes more room for the committee to say, see, we told you. And now ain't none of y'all asses coming through. If you're not in the Power Five, ain't none of y'all getting in.
Hey, Gordo, that game's at 3:30. Everybody be waiting till 7 o'clock. They'll already have the tweet and story, everything typed up. See, we told y'all. Yep. And send it. Like, they were the only people to see that right there. And, I mean, look at Cincinnati. Now, they gave Georgia all they wanted last year in that Peach Bowl.
Right.
Gave Georgia all they wanted in that game last year. And it's different teams and all those and different scenarios. But they gave them all they wanted in that game. And so I wouldn't be surprised. You know, it's always crazy because, you know, the undermatched team, do they do a trick play here? Do they get an uncharacteristic fumble or something like that? Luke Fickell is going to have to do something to give his team a chance to stay in this football game because they just can't line up and beat Alabama.
Yeah, I think, like I said, turnovers is going to be a big proponent in this game. And we know Alabama usually don't make those turnovers. Like, to parallel it, it's like a Belichick Saban, that parallel. You don't typically see those type of games to where though the Patriots or Alabama go out and make those turnovers. But like I said, I'm rooting for Cincinnati for no other reason other than the fact that I kind of always have this underdog type thing because I want for the door to be open to where if there's another team, whether it's an East Carolina or Georgia Southern, anybody, it doesn't matter, that comes up and they have an undefeated season and you have that one big game, like Cincinnati had that one big game against Notre Dame. If you've shown you can play, you can't just discount some of these guys and just say, nah, pat them on the head, say that was real cute and all, but we can go over here and play some big boy football. Let the grown.
That's what Cincinnati is. Cincinnati is playing for all those guys. They really are. Because of the simple fact is that if they are massacred, and a lot of these semifinal games, no matter who has been there, have been just overwhelmingly beat downs, whether it's Power Five on Power Five, they've been beat down. But they'll take it extra. But they'll take it extra because it's Cincinnati. Right. You know, and that's the reason why.
So, yeah. And quickly, just kind of moving along, holding you up a little bit, moving it into the draft, just NFL draft. You talked about my man from Michigan. I've been seeing his name atop of the charts all over the place. Thibodeau from Oregon, I've been seeing his name all over the place. And it's kind of crazy now that you see Michael Parsons and what he's doing in terms of Penn State, even though it's different positions.
Right.
But now everybody, do you think more teams are going to be looking for that difference maker on defense, or is it the fact that there's just not a quarterback out there right now that people are going to put they can say, you're my franchise guy?
Well, the thing with the quarterback position is that we always know a lot of times they're overdrafted. They are because teams need quarterbacks. Teams are desperate for quarterbacks. I thought this class was going to be maybe not as good name-wise or talent-wise as last year, Gordo, but I thought they would be there. And I just haven't seen it yet. I don't think there is a number one overall consensus at who's the number one quarterback. And we're so far away from the draft with the evaluations and everything. So eventually it'll all get broken down. I think that when you look at what Micah Parsons is doing and you look at the top defenders in this class, when you look at, like you said, Aiden Hutchinson, and you look at Thibodeau, the outside backer from Purdue, Stingley Jr., Hamilton from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You want to throw, you know, there's so many different defenders. I don't know if any of them guys are as good as them Micah Parsons has been, because he has been unbelievable. That's that dude there is just on another level. But I think it's all about how you get in the scheme, how you use this player, because Dan Quinn's doing such a great job of using Micah Parsons. How do you do that? If you want to look at where the Falcons are, the Falcons have holes everywhere. You know, they would draft number 8, 9, 10 this year when all the pass rushes, the prime pass rushes are all probably be damn gone. Then you sit at number 4 last year, you take tight end. I love the Kyle Pitts pick, but they needed other things. So, I mean, I think that when you look at if the Falcons are a top 10 team, you'll see every position from quarterback all the way to safety as far as where they should go because they need help in all those places. It's about time to go find a replacement for Matt Ryan or heir apparent to Matt Ryan. You need a big-time wide receiver because you don't know what's going on with Rigg.
Right.
But more than anything, you got to find some defensive difference makers. You got to find people that make the quarterback uncomfortable consistently. And I think that's their biggest need. They need a a war daddy on that defensive line to go with Grady, go to Grady Jarrett.
As a sidebar, I mean, we talked about Dan Quinn a little earlier, and I know I talked about fans, but I think I can't help but still be a little salty with Dan Quinn's defense looking the way it's looking. And I know we don't have the same dogs that he has on his defense.
Right.
But sometimes I'm like, damn, you couldn't have did that over here in the A. Come on, man.
Look at it, Gordo. You know, they went to the Super Bowl. Hell, Vic Beasley had 15 and a half sacks. They were still young on defense and everything. And I thought, you know, it's always one of those situations where, and I love Dan. I've been knowing Dan back from when he coached down here in Miami. So I've never been knowing DQ a long, long time. It just, you know, once that sizzle, once it goes off, you know, and it just always seemed like nothing was ever right. It was always the highs and the lows. Right. Never recovered from that Super Bowl. You can say they went to the playoffs before, but it just never was able. He was never able to get that same magic back. And now he's in a position where he don't got to worry about a team. I can put all my energy and everything I have into this defense because playing with Dallas had players. Dallas got players. They just played in the wrong scheme the year before. They're not a 3-4 team. They're a 4-3 defensive alignment. And now they got guys on the back end stepping up. You look at Diggs. I love Diggs. Except when he has to completely have to cover. When he has a cover, he's don't throw no ball around him now because he's going to pick that shit. Yeah. But, like, you make him cover for a whole game, you can get him all day. But Micah Parsons is the key, man. That dude, I mean, he can win games for you. That's how good a player he is. Well, like, he won that damn
last game. I was going to say, shit, look at the last game. He was all over the place in Washington. So, I mean – For bringing it to Atlanta, yes, there's holes all over the place. You know, like you talked about the safety from Notre Dame. We could use that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. we could possibly use another corner. I've always said, me personally as a fan, I would always love to have a run stuffer. Like we always talk about the fire breather coming up the end, the pass rusher, but I often say that it's null and void. If it's third and two, you know what I'm saying? If it's third and two, it don't matter what kind of pass rush you got because we can just turn around and hand the ball off and you can't damn stop it.
Right. So Jordan Davis would be perfect to play next to Grady. But the thing about it is I love Jordan. I don't think Jordan is a top 10 player because of the fact he's a two-down guy.
Right.
You know, Jordan can rush the pass a little bit more and all those things. You got me. But he's not that. You know, he's a prototypical – like, but you look at Vita Vea from the Tampa. He was drafted number 11 overall. I think Jordan Davis is just as good as he is. You know, collapse the pocket and do all those different things. But, I mean, I look at where the Falcons would draft. I mean, right now I think they're – as of today, they were like in the 8 hole or something like that, I think it was. That's always where the Falcons these last few years, except for this year, as they took Kyle Pitts, they're always in the 16, 13 – 21.
Right.
And you can find some good players. If I AJ Terrell, you know, AJ Terrell has been one of the best corners in football this year. But then it's always, we talk about fans, it's not a sexy pick. That's why I don't pay attention to mock drafts and all that other stuff because all that does is get you more and more mad. That's what I like. I love Mel Kiper. I've been no Mel. Not one time did a GM call Mel Kiper and say, who should we pick? Never, never in a million years does that happen. It don't happen that way.
Well, as you get more toward the middle of the first round and you're going into the second round, anyway, it often becomes, okay, a lot of the top talent has gone, and now we really need to find somebody that fits. And right. So when you look for somebody that fits, it's not always the name. Like you said, it's on ESPN or it's on, you know, Pro Football Talk or whoever else it is. It's usually somebody that we've scouted, we've studied, and we think, okay, this coach knows him or he knows the system, and we're going to bring him in. But just to kind of go into some other draft talk, I'm looking around and we talked a little bit, just kind of touched on the quarterback situation and how it's not what we presume, like maybe last year's quarterback, the names aren't right. The same.
That's the point, yeah.
You look around and Pittsburgh needs a quarterback.
Yep.
Carolina needs a quarterback.
Yep. The Giants, quarterback.
And if the Jets have thrown in the towel super early, they may be looking too. Like, I know you have a football show every Saturday. Is there a particular QB that stands out to you?
I mean, I'm intrigued by Malik Willis. Okay. You know, quarterback of Liberty, was that Auburn Atlanta kid, intrigued by him because of his abilities, an outstanding athlete. A lot of Lamar, not as explosive, fast, and all that, twitchy as Lamar, but a lot of the different things that Lamar brings to the table as far as his ability to run and throw the football. I look at Pickett, the kid out of Pittsburgh, who's made himself a lot of money. He seems like he can be a, like, Mac Jones-type riser. You know, because I think Mac, before coming into last year, I don't think Mac Jones was a first-round draft pick, right, but he worked his way into being number 15 overall pick. I'm disappointed in Sam Howell, but the quarterback out of North Carolina, but you lose 2,000-yard rushes to the NFL and two big-time receivers. Couldn't carry the team the way that they did, and they didn't play well around him. Of course, I mean, Matt Corral, but you always want to say, when you look at kid play last night, Kyler Murray, well, he's not big enough. That's my concern with Matt Corral, because he was knocked around a lot at Ole Miss. So nobody really just, like, stands out as far as just he's a consensus number one quarterback. You got to take him. I just don't see that right now.
Yeah, I watched Willis. I can't remember what game. I think it was Syracuse game. And you could see the talent, but he had a terrible game that game. Like,
yes, and play well. Yeah. Play well, exactly.
He had a terrible game, but you could see the talent, because you could see that it wasn't a lot around him. I mean, being at Liberty, you're not gonna have that same matchup of talent. But you could see that everything that he was doing the most that he could. Corral for me is, it's funny that you say the Kyler Murray thing, because the games that I watched, you could see the heart. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, this is a warrior now.
Yeah, you could see the heart, like. And I wondered, I looked at his list, and I think they might have had him at like 6'1", 6'2", or whatever. And I was like, really?
I mean, he's 6 foot.
He looked super slim. You know, I'm like, damn, like, oh no. But the kid was out there, he was balling, he was taking shots, he was getting hit. And I was like, this dude got some heart. He had some spunk. So what's my man Pickett from Pitt? A lot of people are getting on him now. He's receiving some of the stuff, some of the backlash, because he decided he's talking about he might not play in the bowl game. I might have to look up onto some of his tweets. To see who attacking him. But should fans, like, with what we know now about college football, with coaches moving, with players moving, should fans be so, like, immersed in the bowl game nowadays, though?
But I don't understand why you wouldn't, especially, and here's why. If you say that you love this school, then you love the school no matter what. You know, and that's what I was talking about early. It's about, you know, what does it take for you not to give it? Because one thing I know about fans, I call it promotions, man. They got them. Promotions are a real thing that I figure and I hear about and I learn about every single day. I turn on my mic or whatever and go to work. You learn about it every single day. It's always going to exist. And no matter what I say or another athlete or you or anybody said, it will never go away, because that is what it is. I don't have promotions. I love my Bulldogs to death. But like I said, I ain't about to let them ruin my damn day. I ain't doing nothing around and all that. My flag will still be flying out front of the house. I'll always own my Georgia stuff. And where I'm at with this team now is that I'll be upset because I know they can win a championship this year. They have everything they need. If they don't win a championship because our coach is stubborn or the quarterback or whatever, that will irritate the hell out of me. But that once it's all over with, I wake up the next morning with, damn, Georgia lost, and let's move it on next year. You can't control the promotions and others, man. As much as I try to talk to them, can't. And so you live with it and just know that's just what it is, man. It is, and I'm not mad about it. I love the fact that you're invested in it like that. You know, I think a lot of people I love the fact that fans are vested in it and that you do give a damn, because I've been around fan bases that don't give a damn about their teams and their programs. So, yeah, we love the fact that you love it. It's just back to the point where you're like, all right, you know, relax. You can't hurt no more than me. You mad at me? You can't be more upset than me about what happened in that damn game, because I was actually in the game.
And that's what fans don't understand, I think. I can't remember. It was a player. I just said that probably earlier today. I can't remember who. I was listening to somebody, and they were saying the same thing. They said, we hurt. Like, you don't hurt more than we hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They said the same exact thing. But before I let you go real quick, I want to ask, because you talked about it, coach being stubborn, does Kirby's career, not really career, but does is Kirby going to be defined by how he's handling the quarterback play?
Yeah, he will. He will, because it's been the thing with Kirby since he's been here. Right. We've had with five-star quarterbacks since Kirby's been here. I know, you know, about the Justin Fields and the Jake Fromm situation. And now you're in this situation where this is a different situation, because
even before that, the Jacob Eason.
You remember Jacob Eason? Yeah, so that's great. And now you got your with this whole JT Daniels. I think JT Daniels is the best quarterback on the roster, because this is what we've been told since last January when we played Cincinnati in the Peach Bowl. Throughout the all offseason, he was the one guy. And then he gets hurt, and Stetson plays good, but everything plays good around him. I went back, Gordo, and I don't ever watch a Georgia game that they lose as like a big game or something, and rarely do I watch the ones they win either. But I sat back and I walked, and it was for some reason, it was nothing on TV on Saturday, and the game just happened to be replayed. So I sat there and watched it, and I just looking like, Stetson didn't play bad. He didn't play great, but he didn't play bad. And that was my whole thing, but he'll take the blame for it because everybody looks at it. JT Daniels is a five-star quarterback and all those different things. JT Daniels has missed more games than he's played at University of Georgia. You know what I mean? So are we sure that he can do that? No, not to say he's a five-star. Are we sure that he can go beat Michigan and he can go beat Alabama? I think he can, but I also think you take a look at like four or five plays that could have went differently in that game for Georgia, and Georgia beats Alabama with Stetson Bennett on it. Right. So that's the dynamic that you got to deal with, is like, okay, just go back and watch the game. I said, go back and watch the game, Randy. And I go back and I look at, well, if he would have ran on this play right here, he would have got a first down, would have been inside the 10. Mm-hmm. Well, if he would have just stepped into a throw right here, well, if the back would have hit the cut right there, well, if the defender would have robbed the crosser like he's supposed to, instead of backing up and let Jamison get in front of him and take it for a touchdown. If you don't get beat on the stutter and go by Jamison Williams, knowing he's fat, like all those different, if you tackle him, Wyatt, and get him down, then it's third and long. And the ultimate one is, you know, Nolan Smith following the football. It's a fumble. Following the ball. You're not going to scoop and score for 75 yards. So you take a bit, I mean, those four or five plays, Gordo, you look at like, damn, this game could have turned out different. You're All-American tight end. You don't stop on crossing routes. All right, interception. When you're going in to score to make it a one-score game, then, you know, Stetson threw the pick six. But, okay, he didn't throw a pick six because he's a walk-on, because you know who did that in the first game? Georgia did that to DJU. Same look, DB undercuts the slant route, pick six. So, you know, about the four, five, six plays that Georgia, if they would have went differently, I think they would have won. But still, I do think Stetson Bennett, I do think JT Daniels is the best quarterback on the roster.
Well, I've always been worried about that whenever you put JT Daniels in the game, and it's just something that I'm going to keep my eye on, whenever you put him in the game, is he going to try to make up a whole season in
That's
a
great
game?
Point. You know, that's a great point.
Is he going to try to prove that I should have already been out here? I should have already been in the starting lineup. I'm going to try to prove you guys right, and prove I'm a pro. And then sometimes, as you know, if you try to do that and force some stuff, bad things tend to happen. So, is he going to be cool and calm, and let the game come to him and just take the game in the flow of it? So I think that's one of the things that I kind of wanted to kind of just keep my eye on for if they have to put him in the game or if he starts or whatever the decision that Kirby decides to make. I think that's one of the things that just, you know, kind of keep an eye on. But shoot, Randy, man, listen, I appreciate it. I don't want to hold up your day, man. I know you got things you got to take care of. I'm going to have to bring you back because we talk basketball all the time when we not on, you know, we was up in the station, man. We talk basketball all the time. I had to bring you back. We talk some basketball because – I saw trending a little minute ago. They had Trey AD trending all over Twitter, and I gotta go see.
There you go. The promotions, man. Stay off them damn message board and stay off them damn the trending topics, man. Get you every damn time. Hey, Gordo, man, it's my pleasure, brother, man. I appreciate you having me on, man. And you know, I got you anytime you need me, homie.
I appreciate you again. Check out Randy McMichael on every day on 92.9 The Game. It's the Andy and Randy Show on the middays on 92.9 The Game. Also on Saturdays, is it coming up to an end on Saturdays, or how are we doing it?
Well, we got all the way up to the national championship. So college football game time, 9-12, 92.9 The Game. Me, John Checker, and Chris Goforth. Make sure y'all check us out.
Yes, indeed. Again, this has been the Commissioner Conversation with your host, Commissioner Gordon and Randy McMichael. Until next week.
All right, my boy.
Okay, bye.